Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. It wants again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. This is scan number 2305. That's 2305. Right now we're waiting for our guest to show up tonight. I certainly hope she does. She has quite a story to tell. And however, if she doesn't show up, I pretty much know, you know, what she has here in her bio, and that could actually be a topic of a conversation. And I see that she has shown up, and I'm really happy to hear that. Okay. This again is scan number 2305. I like to give out the scan number so that people, you know, they go into the archives later on and they want to know what the show is like and they want to hear it. So I give out that information so that you can listen. Friday nights a lot of times are hard nights to listen to because you're out doing whatever. So there it is, it's scan number 2305. Tonight we have a special guest. Her name is Joanne Brown. She is from Ohio. She's a grandmother of two abused children, okay, who helped save them from their situation. And she's got quite a story to tell. I read her bio earlier today, and I was really quite taken by it. And let me tell you, people out there who have grandchildren, and if you know that they're being abused, boy, I want you to hear this lady's story, and she can tell you how to go about it. So I have a nice panel that's building here, too. I have Laura from Wisconsin. I have Linda from New Jersey. She's down in South Jersey. That's a 609 area code. Hello. And this is Joanne from Ohio and Joe from Oregon. And we also have a 209 area code. I'm not too sure yet who that might be, but they'll show themselves in a second. Okay, let me get my guest on, but before I do that, I will, and that'll give this other person time to get on and settled. I do read the mission statement. We're supposed to be doing it, and I make sure that I do it on Friday nights especially. We do have a single purpose at NASCA, and that is to address issues related to child abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent and physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so two different ways. One is educating the public, especially related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse. To me, that goes for all abuses, too. Presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic, and we know that it's worldwide. It's not just here in the United States. It's all over the place. And it's been from the beginning of time. All right, number two, offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. That's very, very important, prevention, intervention, and recovery. So many times people don't know what to do, how to do, you know, with their children. But believe me, you're not doing them any service. In fact, you're doing a disservice if you don't sit down and talk to them about the good, as I say, and the bad and the ugly of this world that we're living in. Okay, enough said about that. What I'm going to do is bring on our guests, and I'm just so happy that she did make it. She did call in. Let me find her number. We have a big panel here tonight. Ooh, where'd you go, guest? Or Wisconsin. Okay. Joanne? Joe? 209? What happened to her? I don't know. Let me see. Let me get a hold of Joe and see if she knows what happened to the... Oh, here she is. Okay, got her. All right. Hello there, Joanne Brown from Ohio. Can you hear me? Hello? Try again. Joanne Brown from Ohio, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Yeah, we're having a little problem here in the beginning here. Couldn't hear anyone. Okay, good. Now we're all together because as long as you're coming through, that is what's mattering right here. I'm Carol Levine. I am Vice President of NASCA. I'm also a survivor of horrific child abuse. And we do have these shows it's going to start being on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays where people come on like yourself and you tell stories. Now, in this particular incident, it's your grandchildren that were horribly abused, okay? And
yes.
That's a horrific thing. And I'm so thankful, okay, that there are people like you who, you know, go out there and do what you have to do. What needs to be done to save your grandchildren. And I'm very proud of you. I'm going to tell you that right off the bat.
Thank you.
You've been through a lot with them. Yes. So I'm just going to read a little bit of your bio to whet the appetite of the listeners, okay? Because this is quite a story. And I'm just thrilled to have you on the show. Imagine a grandmother's horror at finding out that her own son and his wife have been physically abusing their two children. Her grandchildren, and you immediately started building a case. Now, see, this is what we need to educate. I love to educate people. And you says here, immediately started building a case. Now, what you're going to be telling the people out there, and there's a lot of people listening that are going to be very interested in this, is how you went about it, okay? And but first of all, let me find out a little bit about you, okay?
Okay.
We do start a little bit. Yeah, we do start out that way. Were you ever abused as a child?
No, not really.
Not really? Okay. Everybody that's on the panel has been abused one way or another. So if you have been, you know, I'm just letting you know that, you know, you're in good hands too. But I'm glad that you weren't, okay? What I want to get across... Yeah, really? Okay. So you're not an abuse survivor. You're not a survivor of that. With your children, your own son and so forth, did he display any types of behavior, you know, growing up? Was he abused in any way, like, say, by his father or something?
No, he was... Never abused.
Never abused, isn't it something?
He's on drugs and everything else.
Okay. Well, you're going to tell us all of that now as we start your story. And I'm getting the panel lined up, so that's why I'm talking a little bit more here. Okay.
Okay.
I have some notes coming in. Okay. So what I want to do now is actually start the story. When did you start realizing... Okay, that your grandchildren are being abused.
Back in 2013.
Back in 2013. And what was it that made you take notice?
Okay, I'm gonna read this. Chris, my oldest son, bit my 8-year-old grandson, JC, on the cheek for waking him up. Nobody would bite on a cheek for waking you up. And he had a great big black bruise on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got pictures of just about all the abuse.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. See, that right there, you took pictures. See, this
yeah,
is going, what you're telling
of
here, well, what you're doing here is you're educating everyone that's listening, you know, that don't know to do that, okay? you know, you're helping them to understand what role they can play in this and how to go about this. So
my
I'm really
grandson
thankful
has
here.
Never, he's never, well, he's never forgot about any of this abuse.
Mm-hmm.
He hates his dad so much.
Well, how many grandchildren? You had two. You have two.
Yeah, I got
JC, right?
14. I got JC, 14. And I got Ruby. She's 7.
He's 7. Okay. So how old were they when you first saw the bruising and stuff like that, or the odd behavior? How old were they?
Okay, JC was only 8 years old when his dad bit him on the cheek.
Okay. So this is what got your attention. You started seeing, you know, bruising and maybe different kinds of behavior, which would indicate that something was wrong. And, that's what usually happens, you know, Joanne, is you know, you're their grandparent, okay, and you know that they're starting to act different, and then you start seeing bruising. Now, this shows you it's not just typical bruising like falling off of a bicycle or getting into a scuffle with some kid. You know, it's different.
Well, there was one time Chris says he fell, Casey fell off of a bike into a six-foot ditch. And when I got JC down here, I talked to him about it because it didn't look like no bicycle marks. He said, no, Dad done it with chains. He hit him in the legs with dog chains.
Well, you see, that's awful. You know, I mean, a lot of us have been physically abused. I was physically abused, too. I mean, a lot of us on the show. One way or another. And it can leave either welts or, in this case, maybe you got infected by the chain. That's what it sounds like. You know, bruising and infection, And, I mean, it makes you wonder. Your own child, your own son, was never abused. And still he, look what happened. You know, it really makes you wonder. Usually when people are abused, okay, they come from abusive backgrounds. You know that you're a smart lady. And they come from abusive backgrounds where once in a while, there'll be someone like your son that didn't come from an abusive background, and yet he turns into an abuser. All right, I want to say something before we go any further. I do have a panel here, okay? And what we do is, I don't know if you've listened to the show before or not, but I try to go to the panel 3 times throughout the course of the show to see if they have questions or if they have comments that they want to ask of you. And so let me sort of like introduce them, and then we'll go on with the story, okay? Let's do that.
Okay.
We have... we have Laura from Wisconsin. Laura, say hello to Joanne and welcome her to the show.
Hi, Joanne. Thank you for coming. We really appreciate it.
Hi.
And welcome to be part of NASCA's family.
That's right.
Yeah, that's it.
You done? Okay, thank you, honey. Okay, let me go down to, to Linda. From New Jersey. Hold on a second. Hey there, Linda. How you doing?
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good. Thanks for sharing.
Say hello.
Joanne.
There you go.
And I did have a question for you. What part do you think your son's wife played in him becoming the way he became?
Oh. His ex-wife, he abused JC also.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for what you did and everything you're doing.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Linda. Let's go down to Joe from Oregon. Joe from Oregon, say please hello to Joanne.
All right. Thank you so much. Hi, Joanne.
Hello.
Hi. It sounds, that just sounds really horrible for you to find out that your grandchildren were being abused like that, because I bet you hadn't expected
it. Yes,
it
was.
I
just want to wring his neck.
Wow. And so you were very smart about getting pictures and proof and all of that before you started. Did you gather all of that information before you started talking to police or Child Protective Services or anything?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I took everything down to the CPS.
Okay. I'd be interested when you get to it to hear what happened when you talked with your son about what you found, and I'm sure that's coming up in your discussion.
Denied it. He denied it.
Okay. Oh, brother. Okay. Thank you for that, Joe.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, we have two callers here. Sometimes people just want to listen, okay? That's a 209 area code and also the 845 area code. Not too sure how that might be. But I'll go to them once in a while and see if after they listen for a little while, maybe they want to be a part of the panel, and that's fine. Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's what we do here. So he was your son was repeatedly hitting in the head. Sometimes it says here with a hammer, okay?
Right
which
on Christmas Day.
On Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's rough. It's rough any day, okay? It's rough any day. This, of course, it said suffering major bruising. Well, probably lumps and maybe even some bleeding. I don't know how hard he was hitting him. He shouldn't be hitting him at all. But
well, when I got JC, I took him to a neurologist and had him tested for everything, and the neurologist put him on headache pills for a long time. And then MRIs and everything on him.
Wow. But you say you have two grandchildren. Now, what was going on with the little girl? Is it a little girl?
Yeah.
What was going on with her?
Well, by the time I got hold of her at 17, he told me her dad tried to do things to her and was taking showers with her with no clothes on.
Right. Right. Well,
then
he's... Go ahead.
Okay. You know how little 2-year-old runs out of a bathroom with no clothes on? After you give him a bath? Well, JC was sitting, that's when he lived with his dad. He was sitting in the front room. Ruby ran out of the bathroom. And JC, the only thing JC did was look at her. And that don't mean anything. And so his dad called JC a rapist. And so when JC got in the shower, he brought his nipple out and put a flat iron between them and squished down. And made two red marks. Then when he got out of the shower, Chris tried to put his thing up his butt.
Well, this is an adult show. I just want you to know, you can speak freely. So when you say thing, You can use the word penis, or if it's an object, or whatever
penis
it is.
Penis and
you know.
Fingers.
Okay.
Penis,
now we have
penis
a better idea.
And fingers.
Okay, so that's an awful thing for children to go through. Truly, truly an awful thing. Now, you know, the kids, they want to look to their parents for guidance and for love and things that are normal, that go on in normal families. And so when they have, you know, this problem where they're being so terribly abused, you know, they feel so alone, trust me. And then they feel like they're different, which they are, because the other kids, the normie kids, as we call them, right, they're not going through things like that. So it's a horrifying, horrifying thing for them to have to, you know, endure.
I had custody of both of them for years and years. Then I stepped in and told my lawyer I wanted to go for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
So it took us about a year, but I got adoption.
Well, that's great. I'm so glad that you did.
Because I wasn't going to quit until I got it.
Well, you know, you're a special lady, okay? You're a special lady because, first of all, as a grandparent, not that grandparents aren't important because we are. my grandkids and even more, you know, they adore me and I'm so close to them. I would never let anyone hurt them. And they don't come from a background, thank God, like I came from, okay, or any of the people on the panel here. So, you know, for you, first of all, you were number one. You were very observant. This started back years ago when you realized that your grandson had strange bruising and so forth. And what did you do? You took out a camera. That's very, very smart to do that. You have proof that way. Okay. So people out there, if you have any, you know, I'm talking to the people out there now. If you have any suspicions that a child is being physically abused, sexual abuse is
step
harder.
Step in and fight it.
Yes. For God's sake, take pictures, do whatever you have to do, because you need to have proof. Otherwise, you're not going to be heard. And a lot of times, you know, kids are too afraid to talk. They're afraid to speak. And so they keep their mouth shut.
Back in January of 16, I found out, okay, they held the no grandparents rights away from me. And I found out that Jesse was in the hospital for a skull fracture his dad done him. And it took him in summer 3 days to get him to the hospital because he had ear drainage. He was dizzy. He couldn't even hardly speak. And I went up to the hospital, and they wouldn't even let me see him.
And that must have been very hard on you, too, because you have a good idea by this time, you know, what's going on.
I didn't quit because I was up all night long, and I kept on calling Chris up to his house. I kept on calling hospital and everything else.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. All right, so your son and daughter-in-law, 3 days, to get the boy to the hospital. Joanne was not allowed to see the boy in the hospital. Eventually, you were able to gain custody of your two grandchildren. So that's what your bio says. Let's talk a little bit more about, you know, your relationship with the grandchildren. Did they tell you things, you know, like you had some time in there, some years in there, where you had time with them? Were you able to spend time with them? Did they ever say, Mommy did this or Daddy did that or whatever? Did they ever tell you?
Because after I got custody of them, I told them both, I said, anything you need to say, and tell me, I'm here to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, as long as you're with me, you're safe, and nobody can ever hurt you again.
That's so good. That's so good, Joanne.
And I've
How
already taken my adoption papers to both schools,
mm-hmm.
and even my lawyer said, now since I got adoption, I'm the
mm-hmm.
mom and the dad, which that's all right with me, I guess.
You bet. Those
yeah.
are some lucky kids, you know. How often were you seeing them? Were you seeing them once a week? Or, you know, how often did you see your grandchildren?
Well, maybe once a week. And
mm-hmm.
once every 3 or 4 months. Whenever
mm-hmm.
they chose to let me see them. Because whenever they needed gas money or anything that suited their benefits, they'd let me see the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Then I just
mm-hmm.
got fed up with it, and I took them to court for grandparents' rights.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I wish
mm-hmm.
I could give you the grandparents' rights, but there's none here.
Right.
That there,
right.
there is now.
Mm-hmm.
But the judge did tell him that since I was a grandmother, he had a right to tell him I can see him once a week, then once every other weekend, they are to spend nights with me.
Mm-hmm. There are some times I've heard, okay, where they consider, and this isn't you, of course, but where they consider the grandparents to be unstable or abusive or whatever, and so they do try to take the rights away from the grandparents, and sometimes they're able to do that. Depends on the situation. But this is totally reversed.
That's what someone tried to tell the judge.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge said, I don't believe this.
Mm-hmm. Did the police ever interrogate the kids? Like, did they take them in, or CPS, did they ever sit down and talk to them and tell them what was going on or ask them questions?
No.
No.
I called CPS many times.
Mm-hmm. What about in school?
That's one thing. My oldest son, he took Jesse out of school for 2 straight years,
mm-hmm.
saying he was homeschooling with you, wasn't. Then by the time I got Jesse on account of his age and his height, they put him straight in the 5th grade, which he's in the 8th now. And, He was on like the 1st and 2nd grade level. So I went ahead and got him an IEP. And after I got him the IEP, he started catching up. And he's bringing me good grades home. And Ruby, he's bringing me honor roll home every 9 weeks.
That's great. You see, this is you're certainly involved. Did your son threaten you because you were so, you know, active and so involved in their
their
lives?
He threatened me all the time. But asked me if I care. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have anything on me. I don't have
mm-hmm.
anything against me. And
mm-hmm.
I've got concealed to carry. And when Chris threatened me, I said, come on down here. And I said, I'll beat your little butt all over the street. He said, He said, what are you going to do? Use your gun? And I said, come on down here and we'll see about it.
Mm-hmm. But so your son actually was, go ahead.
But I didn't have my gun. I didn't mean that. But I did tell him, come on down here and I'll whip your, you know what, all over the street. Because, see, I'm not afraid of Chris. And he knows it.
But you see, you stood up for the grandchildren. You stood up for his children. And you showed him that you weren't afraid. You see? And that makes a big difference. You know, it really does. The kids felt comfortable with you.
I mean,
they knew that they had, you know,
my
good times with you. Mm-hmm.
My grandchildren come first.
Right. Right.
And
well,
they know it.
When your son is acting like that, you know, when he's acting like that, they should come first. Absolutely. You know, and thank God you were there. I'm going to go to the panel now. And we'll work from there. Hold on just a second. They probably have a question or a comment to make. I'm going down to Joe right now in Oregon. Joe, do you have a question or comment to make?
Yeah, I'm still amazed. Okay, I'm trying to figure out your son, when he was growing up in your house, he didn't show any signs of that kind of behavior, right?
No, never. I mean, I treated both of my sons equal, and I never abused my oldest son.
Mhm. Okay. Because it seems like something happened. Something must have snapped or something for him to become that that cruel.
He got mixed up in this meth.
And other drugs.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Oh, I am so sorry.
I just stepped in and done what I had to do.
Yeah. Thank goodness that you were there. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. That explains it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, let's go up to Linda. Do you have any questions or comments you want to make here?
How are they doing emotionally?
Do what?
How are they doing emotionally?
Because
your grandchildren, with their feelings, how are they feeling about everything?
You mean as of now?
Yes.
Okay, they're happy-go-lucky, but JC is old enough to, he cannot get over this abuse.
Is he getting help
for
that?
And the counselor has talked to him, the psychiatrist has talked to him, and it's going to take a, he's down for a long road.
Yeah. But he can recover. Don't give up, because he will recover. It takes a lot to heal, but he will.
I'm not giving up on it, no.
Good.
No, that's good, yeah. All right, thank you for that, honey. Let me go up to Laura here from Wisconsin. Laura, do you have any questions or comments you want to make about the abuse, what you've heard so far, or about the emotional, what was just brought up? Go ahead.
I guess my question was this, if you got your two grandchildren, did you have to go through the court to do that?
Well, when I got custody of JC, I was my own lawyer. And I told the judge, if you don't want to give them to me, I'll keep coming back until you do give them to me. And he looked at the secretary and said, go ahead, give them to her. Then when I just, Ruby, back in April of 17, I had to hire a court appointed attorney, which cost $1,000, but it was worth it, because he investigated Chris and Ruby, and it was bad because she was living in drug houses and everything.
That's really hard.
I was my own lawyer there, except the court appointed attorney. And I got, it took from 9 o'clock until 4 o'clock that evening for the trial, but I got her.
Laura,
then
you
I
okay?
Back.
Hold on a second. Laura, you okay, honey?
I'm dissociating, so.
You're just feeling really, really, really stressed right now. This is very hard to listen to. It is. And so, you know, but don't breathe so heavy in the phone. That sounds weird. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. That's all right. Your question is good, okay? I was wondering about that, too. All right, well, thank you for that. We'll talk a little bit more about that because I want to know more. Okay, so you had an attorney, and you spoke to your attorney about what was going on, okay? And your attorney, what did he do with that? I couldn't quite hear everything that you were saying. What did he do with that information?
I took him down all the abuse papers and talked to him, and he had JC and Ruby to come down, and he talked to both of them, and he said, is adoption okay with you all? Because she's going to be your mom and dad. And both of them started laughing and said, yeah, I love it. So I told the lawyer, I said, go ahead and proceed with the adoption. And
well,
it got the matter in the last court on November the 7th of this year. They had to escort my oldest son out of the courtroom. And so the judge said adoption granted.
Good. So let me ask you, how, what is this doing to your heart? You know, your son, okay, you said, I think I could hear you before, he got into meth. Is that correct? He's into drugs?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He's been in a drug since he was about 16.
Okay. So when someone's into drugs that, you know, for that amount of time, it absolutely can ruin their minds and so forth. But, you know, that's to me isn't good enough, okay? What you did is wonderful because kids who have parents who are drug addicts are usually so abused, and they are abused. And, of course, your grandchildren were abused. And like what you're talking about in the shower with your granddaughter and what happened to her. I mean, these children, they never forget. Yeah, they never forget this stuff, okay? When you've been abused, you don't forget the acts of the abuse.
I know.
And but what you can do is you learn how to live your life because there is life after abuse, okay? There just simply is. But it takes a long time. Now, your grandchildren and maybe even yourself are in, you know, for counseling. You have therapists, and they're working very diligently, very closely with your grandchildren, trying to help them, you know, through, to work through all the abuse that they went through. And do you see any improvement, you know, since they've started to see the therapist?
Oh, JC, I see a lot of improvement on him and Ruby. But like I said, he's going to have his ups and downs on all this abuse. But
he has a lot of trauma. He has a lot of trauma that he went through.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when he got hit on the head, with a hammer on Christmas Day. When I got him, I took him to the neurologist, and he immediately started the MRI and CAT scans and everything else on him to make sure everything was okay. He came back okay. So he asked Jesse, he said, how often are you having these headaches? And he's having them a lot. So he put him on a low dosage, and then he put him on high dosages until his headache proceeded down. And I think it was on headache pills for almost 2 years.
So it's finally calmed down, then, all this the pain that he's having in his head. Believe me, the pain that he's having, you know, is not just in his head. It's in his heart, too, and his spirit, his being. This is what we speak about, you know, on NASCA is it's physical, mental, emotional, sexual, and neglect. All the annexes, it doesn't matter which one it is, all the neglects, it's all trauma. And
I know
so
it.
When people, you know, when people go through this, trying to live their little lives, and I'm going to say little lives because they're still so young, okay, in the scheme of things. It's very, very difficult. Do they have nightmares?
Ruby had nightmares for months and months, but she don't have any now.
No, good. Then maybe the therapy is helping her. And of course, you're helping her. Just by being in a place where they feel safe.
Yeah, that's
You should feel proud of yourself. You know, I mean, okay.
I am.
And you should be. You should be, Joanne.
I'd hurt somebody if anybody would ever try to take my grandkids. Because they're mine now.
Well, now what you've shown the public. Remember, there's a lot of people listening. Well, and they're going to even more listen later. What you're showing people is, okay, you're not 22 anymore. I don't know how old you are, and I don't care. But the point is you're the kid's grandparent, okay? And still you were able, you knew what to do, okay? You took pictures when you started seeing bruises. You asked them, obviously, the right questions. You provide a home for them, you know, where they feel comfortable.
I told them when I was asking questions, I said, now talk to Memo, and I said, tell me, and I said, I promise I will not say anything to your mom and dad. And they trusted me enough, and they talked to me. And the more they talked to me, the more I wrote down stuff.
Good. It's like keeping a log, as they call it, in the court system. You kept a log. That's what you did. That's good.
I've got
something
three,
to produce.
I've got, right now, I've got three suitcases of papers.
Good.
And back in December 24th of 15, I went to Chris's house. And that trailer was so hot. Ruby had her PJs on, but JC, he had his coat on and a hoodie and everything else. And I looked at him and I said, JC, look at Mamo. He looked at me and I mean, I about flipped because his eye was blood red where Chris hit him straight in the eye. And I called CPS, and it took about 4 or 5 days to get out there.
Yeah. See, we have a broken system. It's not supposed to be that way.
But I do get along with. Along with CPS now, and there's one I love her to death, and her name's Whitney. She's listening now, and I'm. Whitney and some of the other CPS officers wrote me a letter And even when Whitney even came to court on the day of the adoption,
mm-hmm.
and CP Whitney and everybody else recommended me to have adoption.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you something. There's good CPS workers, and then there are those that are not so good. Okay.
I know.
And you found that out. You found that out. I had a good CPS worker for me when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And she let me know that whatever happened was never, ever, ever my fault. And whereas my mother and stepfather are trying to make it my fault. Yeah, go ahead.
That's what
and this is important.
Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
Whitney told JC and Ruby, whatever happened, it was not your mm-hmm. fault.
Right. And that's exactly
and
right.
I told him that. And I have told him that.
Well, sometimes when it comes from a stranger or someone, you know, like from CPS, it has a really, I know with me, I took a deep breath of and just felt so much better. Because a lot of times kids, you know, no matter what the situation is, they have some blame to themselves. Well, maybe
mm-hmm.
if I had acted differently, or maybe if I'd been better in school, or whatever the case might be. Then maybe mommy and daddy would have been more proud of me, you know, or would have loved me more, things like that. And that just simply isn't the case. You had mentioned that there is homeschooling going on at one point, did you not?
Yeah, that's what Chris said. And
mm-hmm.
he even told the supervisor that
mm-hmm.
I was going to participate in the homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
Then after the supervisor agreed to let him home, being homeschooled, Chris wouldn't let me help him.
Jeez. Mm-hmm.
And so
I'm not surprised.
I even tried to call the superintendent in Chesapeake and told him that I couldn't,
mm-hmm.
that he wouldn't let me help him. He said, that's not my problem.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. You see, homeschooling. Yeah, go ahead.
I even had them a tattoo lined up. And Chris wouldn't do that even. He wouldn't let them have a tutor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You see, with what I wanted to say and get across to people out there, homeschooling can be good or it can be bad. And if a person
mm-hmm.
is like, they're pedophiles or whatever, they're abusive to children, a lot of times they prefer to have, you know, the children homeschooled because,
mm-hmm.
Like in their case, like in your grandchildren's case, it's more, I think it was like more physical, especially with your grandson. No one would see the bruising. This is why I asked about school earlier on. You know, did they see bruising? Did they see this? Did they see that? When kids are homeschooled.
I asked the school if they ever seen bruising and stuff on him when he was in
mm-hmm.
first grade. And
mm-hmm.
they said, yeah. And I said, did you even try to investigate? They said, no. They said, it's not our problem. So I called
mm-hmm.
the state patrol. Not the state patrol, but the
mm-hmm.
education up in Columbus. And just because Chesapeake was exempt from the rest
mm-hmm.
of schools, that they couldn't do nothing
mm-hmm.
about it.
Well, you know, there's a lot of states that are doing a lot better than that now, okay? They're mandated
but
in borders, you know,
I'll
supposed
tell you
to be.
The reason why Chris homeschooled him. Because I know Chris like a book. He was too lazy to get him dressed for school to ride the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Chris likes
mm-hmm.
to sleep in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there for a long time, JC was taking care of Ruby, fixing her bottles and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, well,
JC would even call me and say, Mama, we need milk and stuff up here, and I can't get Dad up. So what do? I get in my car and go get milk and stuff, what the kids need, and go up.
Yeah. Well, you see, with the drugs, and that, this is no excuse, all right? But he was a drug addict. What about his wife? Was she a drug addict also?
Same thing.
Yeah. So they had two parents that were drug addicts, and that's why they were sleeping in, and there was no schedule, and there was none of this other stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I even had the Ruby, when she was born, they put a diaper on her to test her urine, to drug test her, and when Summer found that out, she got a hold of another doctor to get out of the hospital. Because she knew the baby would be taken away. And when I went up and got all medical reports, Ruby had heroin and everything else in her system.
Well, drugs are a terrible thing. You know, so many times people get into them, and that's the way they behave a lot of times. They become very abusive. You know, a lot of survivors tend to turn to alcohol and drugs. I did, you know, but I'm a clown.
Yeah.
I've always been like a happy-go-lucky person, even at the worst times in my life. And so I would never hurt anyone. Let's go to the panel here and see if they have any questions. I want to go to Laura now.
Okay.
Laura, do you have any questions or comments that you'd like to make?
No. And
no, right now? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'd like to ask to just listen.
That's all right, sweetie. Yeah. I'm glad you're here, though. And it is a hard thing to listen to. I understand that. Okay, let me I'll put you on hold here, and you just listen away, and I'll talk to you later. Okay.
But you tell everybody, if they even think about somebody being abused, to please step in.
Well, you know, yes, you're right. And that's what families have to understand. You know, let me tell you something. 60% of abuse, no matter what kind it is, all right, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, sexual, whatever, 60% happens right in the family. That's terrific.
I know.
And stranger danger is only 7%. The rest of that equation there is actually, well, yes, it can happen in school or at camp or from the churches that we've been listening to and all this other stuff, or the guy down the street, whatever. But most of, or the lady down the street, okay, we have to remember ladies can be bad too. We don't speak enough about ladies. But the point is that most of the abuse does happen at home. And this is why it makes it so hard for kids, too. I mean, they were lucky. Thank God. They were lucky they had you, and they felt comfortable talking to you. But a lot of kids don't have anyone. So the abuse continues, okay? And then they end up, you know, having all kinds of problems because they don't get the help that they need, all right? So let me go down to Linda here.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I want Linda to come on now because I need to go through the panel so they feel like, you know, they're a part of the show too.
Okay.
And they're a big part, believe me. Go ahead, Linda.
Okay.
Joanne, I like what you said about homeschooling because I work with lower income families, and I see some of these mothers having trouble with their kids in school and having trouble with the boyfriends at home, and they start homeschooling the kids so that school doesn't find out what's going on at home.
Right.
And they're not really homeschooling. They're just protecting themselves from the school finding anything out. And that's really concerning.
In my opinion, all kids need public schools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I believe in.
Yeah, and there are good families that really believe in homeschooling because of religion and things like that, and I get that. But I think as a public and the people out there listening, we have to, if there's something that doesn't seem right, check it out. Find out. Talk to the child. Like, do something. Like, that's what I'm doing right now with some of these people. And I'm making sure that they know that I'm on their back and they're accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've always told my kids when I was growing up to talk to me, Chris would never did.
Mm.
He's too busy on drugs. And I even tell my grandkids, if they need anybody to talk to please come to me. And they
That's
do.
That's so important. That's so important. Mm. That's so good that they have you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm very thankful, too. Thank you for that, Linda. Well, let me go down to Joe from Oregon and see if she has something she'd like to ask or make a comment. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, thanks. Joanne, I was wondering if your son, I understand that they're got divorced because you said his ex-wife, but if he ever got help, if he ever got help or any kind of therapy, drug therapy or anything, or in trouble or any kind of punishment or anything for that or help for that? For what happened? Because it sounds like no.
Do what now?
No, you don't know. Okay, yeah, and it's probably just as well to stay away. But wow, I'm so glad that you were so observant, and also that you took the approach of gathering evidence rather than, trying to attack somebody who is on meth because, you don't win one of those. And so that is really, that's good. And also when you were saying that that in the court, they were saying, yep, you get awarded that. So because they saw that you were really going to be taking care of them and doing well by them. So thank you for that. And they're now in eighth grade. You said the boy is in eighth grade. You said
he's in eighth grade, and my granddaughter is in first.
Wow. Okay. So
he brings me home the honor roll every 9 weeks.
Oh, good. Good. Okay.
And,
well,
JC, I got him an IEP, and he's doing good.
Good. Okay, I'm glad to see that the brain injuries that he had did not have the long-term effects that they could have, in addition to having to recover from the abuse, which is enough of a job itself. So thank you very much for coming and talking with us. I look forward to hearing more. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. It was really good. It's so true what she's saying. And we as survivors, we know this, okay? Now, you're saying that he's doing a lot better, and I believe is doing a lot better. Yeah. And boy, they love their grandma. You can be sure of that.
It's going to be a long haul for him to get over this abuse.
It is horrible because, again, they have recall, or he has recall, He can remember everything, that happened. And this is what people have to understand, It's not something that you just get over. So many times I get so mad, Joanne, because people don't understand, the damage that happens to children. When they are being abused one way or another, when there's so much trauma involved.
I don't think he really cares. I don't think. Chris.
Well, there's a lot of people that don't care. You're right. You know, that's why we fight so hard here at NASCA, you know, to get people to understand. You know, when kids, I used to work in detention center, okay? So when I worked in detention center, I did my own personal inventory of the kids that I worked with. Many of them came from, most of them came from abusive backgrounds. So what do? They're out, they're stealing clothes, they're stealing food, whatever the case might be, or they're out and they're having sex on the streets, they get caught, they end up in juvie, okay? They end up in juvenile detention. You know, people have to realize that the way this affects society, if kids get into drugs because they can't stay home anymore, it's not safe, or maybe they're in foster care and it's not safe, so they get out, they get on the streets, they get pimped out, and so they end up in juvenile detention center. And but before they do that, maybe they're breaking into people's houses, hello, because they need money. They want more money because they're such drug addicts. This happens too, okay, whether they're being pimped out or whether they're out there by themselves. They need to have the money. So the money has to come from somewhere. Many times the B&Es, the breaking and entry done by juveniles, is because they've already been turned on to, you know, to the drug world. And then that's what they do.
I had Chris in and out of court system since he was in. Since he was about 14 years old.
Well, but it's...
I had to.
Well, drug abuse is a terrible thing, and
I know.
I've seen people die from it, you know, right in front of my eyes. So I know all about drug abuse. And
it's getting worse here.
Yes, it is. It is getting worse because we're having more drugs that are coming into our country too. And we're not going to get political here, but quite frankly, the truth of the matter is there are more drugs that are coming into our country. And if kids don't have a role model, okay, if they don't have someone, especially boys, but girls also, someone to look up to. Many times they do turn, you know, out into the streets. They get into gangs. And somehow, I don't know how your son got involved with drugs. Maybe he was at a party or something, and someone turned him on to the drugs. I don't know how this happened. But, you know, once they're a drug addict, so often the crime follows, okay? Not just a crime of shooting up or snorting or whatever. But also to the crime so that they can have and continue their drug abuse. So with your son, I find it hard not to to believe that he or she, his ex-wife, you know, didn't get into some sort of problems and trouble. It's probably better if you don't know. But I would like to see them, go to jail or something. Go ahead. Because of the beatings, everything.
Too, but Chris, he's in and out of a court system once a month.
Okay.
And he's even in South Point Municipal Court once a month. He owes him over $2,000.
But oh boy,
he is my son, and if I had it my way, I would stick him in the hospital, and he would not get out until he's completely well. See, I cannot have Chris down here at all on camera. JC and Ruby, they hate him. They don't want nothing to do with him, and I'm not going to put him through nothing. I'm here to take care of him.
You know what? They're scared. They know what they've been through, okay? And to force children to have to see, you know, the abusive parent or parents, that's trauma all over again. So
I don't force. I ask them if they want to see them, and if they say no, then forget it. I haven't seen my oldest son except in the court session, courtroom for adoption and custody in, probably about 4 years.
Well, they don't need to be near them anymore, Joanne. Look at the damage that they did. I mean, your grandson almost lost his life, if you think about it. He was hit in the head with hammers. Yeah. And he had terrible infections.
Then he was put in the hospital over skull fracture. And what was my oldest son, he hit him in the ear, slung him into the wall. Then he bounced back off and he hit him again.
Well, you know what? No, they don't need to be near that. And they're doing their best to move on. Your children are actually trying to move on. And with the right therapy, and they're going to need therapy for a very long time, okay? Because of the fact, the damage that's been done to them mentally and emotionally.
Yeah,
emotional abuse is horrifying. You know, that's another bad.
I love that counselor, John, because he comes to my house once a week. Then if I need him, he comes straight up.
Right. Well, you know, you're doing everything that you can do, and you're doing a tremendous amount for these children.
As long as I got them, nothing is going to happen to them. I guarantee
you
that.
You'll chase someone
them,
down the street. You're like me. If someone tries to go after them, you'll chase them. You bet. And that's important. That's important. And you see, they feel good being with you because they know that you'll do that. You will fight for them. You've already fought for them, Joanne, because you've gone to the court system, okay? And you took all those pictures in the beginning, you know, and they were able to speak to you, and you kept a log, a running log, that's what it's called, a running log of incidents that happened. So you had actually a lot of things to produce to your attorney, who then was able to produce it to the court. And that's what people out there have to understand. It's a procedure.
Good job.
You did a fine job. But we're telling the people out there that don't know any better or they're learning right now, because this is what our guests do. We sort of like teach, you know, the people that are listening that don't understand what to do. Some people just feel like, I don't know what to do about it. But you took it upon yourself. Somehow you had that in your head. You knew what to do. And that was very good. So you had like four different things. You had the pictures. You had the running log, as they call it. You were able to have the children tell you certain things. And they could, well, if they had to, and of course they're much too young to testify, but you certainly had all the information that you needed. You had things to produce, you know, to the attorney, and he could give it to the court. And then the ultimate happened, you know, you adopted them.
They even told my attorney things.
Good. That's good. And you see, they also, too, had the hospital records. Don't forget, every time, you know, that he, you know, they were in the hospital, even if it took them 3 days to get them there and so forth, they all had, they took notes, you know, they write it in. And that can be subpoenaed. And so then that just builds the case even more. So you're a blessing.
I've got all hospital records ever since I've had, from 16. And after, even after I got them, I got them from the time they was born on up.
Well, you're teaching a lot of people out there. You're teaching a lot of people out there, Joanne. You're sure, you know, the right thing to, you know, to do if you suspect something. See, we teach prevention, right? Intervention, mm-hmm. which is what you were doing, and recovery, which you're a part of.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't stop what was happening in the home. No one could, okay? Mm-hmm. But the intervention part is what you were doing by taking the pictures and talking to the children and getting all the responses, you know, that they had to say, and going in, getting an attorney, going into the court system. That's intervention. And now there's a wonderful ending to all of this, and that's you being the adoptive mama, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You adopted them. So now they're safe.
They're safe and sound.
Well,
they're scared at times, but I talk to them and I tell them, do not be scared.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think anyone would, you know, would fight with that. No one would want them to see them, the parents, because they're not worthy. They're not worthy of being mm-hmm. parents.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. But I did forget to tell you one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know. You listen to your instincts. And
right.
something just told me to go up to his trailer. Back in mm-hmm. 14, I went up to the trailer. And there's so much fighting and screaming on the inside. They didn't even hear me pull up. And I went up on the porch and I heard JC screaming, get off me, get off me. Oh, that went through me like a light bulb. And so
yeah.
I said, screamed out and I said, Chris. And he would not come to the door. So I just took my foot and knocked the door in. And I told
you
him,
know,
I
don't really know you. But I like you. That's good.
Mama does.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for
yeah,
you.
Because I told him, I said, you stay out for him. Because if you don't, I said, I will call CPS. And I said, I'll be back up here.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, then I'll take my kids away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And he got quiet.
Did he ever try to lunge at you or hit you or anything during the time, you know, during all of this time and even before he had his children? Because he was on drugs for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Many times. But
yeah,
I went back
and kind of figured.
Got him back. Mm-hmm. Got him back. I don't back down from him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he knows it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're one tough mama.
Huh?
I said, you're one tough mama. Yes, you are. You know, it says at the bottom of this, it says, this grandmother's tenacity to rescue her grandchildren from the brutal abuse provides an opportunity for Joanne and Naska to speak of the important role each of us can play in intervening for abused children everywhere. So, and that's very true. This is why I kept, you know, drawing things out of you, because what we need to do is to teach the public, okay, the people that listen right now and the people that listen later on, you know, what to do in situations when they suspect, you know, that their grandchildren or being abused one way or another. And you certainly did all of the right things, you know, and
yeah,
we're all
and
very, very proud of you.
I will say one thing while everybody is listening. If anybody suspects child abuse or anything, or if a kid
mm-hmm.
is quiet, investigate and get it
right.
taken care of.
Right. And good for you. Good for you that you did that. I'm going to go through the panel again because, you know, we only have about 15 minutes left. That's about it. And each one might have something that they want to ask you or make a comment about. I'm not going to bother with Laura right now because she just wants to listen. This is very hard to listen to. But I have to say, even with all of the horrible things that your grandchildren went through, okay, they are healing. And that's why I always try to tell people that there is life after abuse, okay? Let me go down to go down to Linda from New Jersey and see if she has a comment or a question to ask.
Okay.
Yeah, I wondered what happened to their mother in all of this.
She don't care as long as she has her drugs and her other boyfriends.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, thank God they have you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Okay, let's go down to Joe from Oregon and see what if she has a question or comment. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I just wanted to thank you for your tenacity and for not giving up on your grandkids. And
once I believe in doing something, I never back down. I go for what I believe in.
Mm-hmm. And and you're giving them such a more positive opportunity for the future. And thank you for that. And you're a good role model for other grandmothers. To check in on their grandkids occasionally, especially if there's any kind of suspicion, if there's any kind of drugs involved at all, to do what you did rather than confronting your son directly, which could have turned out really bad for you. So I know you had a lot of strength, but when somebody is on something like meth, they have extra strength because they don't care, and everything goes into their fighting. So they can actually really do a lot of damage. So I'm glad you took the approach you did, and I'm glad that the kids are going to therapy and getting help. And thank you for being such a good role model and for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, Joe makes a good point. You know, it's like the adrenaline rush. They become much stronger, and they can get hit themselves and not even feel it. I mean, they just keep right on going. They're like a, you know, like a demon on wheels or something. You know, I've seen it. You know, I bet you have seen it. And, you know, it's nothing. It's not really funny. It's a horrifying thing, you know, to have someone that's really you know, up high, you know, on any of the drugs actually, and they are very dangerous. They can be very dangerous. They can kill. They can kill people. Go ahead.
Before I got my green kids, these been many a times I take milk and everything else up to my grandkids. And Chris was one to sleep all day instead of taking care of the kids. So I'd leave my own home, go up there, and spend morning until night. Cooking
well,
and cleaning.
It's so good that you did that. Go ahead.
But I knew what I had to do.
Well, you did the right thing, all right? Look, you had the gut feeling to begin with, as we call it. And you may not even realize this, but you were prepared, all right, to find whatever way back when, because you knew that
when
there was something
the door
wrong.
When I kicked Chris's door in. I kick it in with my foot.
Well, you know, it's a darn good thing that you were there to intervene, you know, for the children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing that your son's afraid of you. Because,
he won't,
you know.
I mean, when he does come around, I go outside by myself, down, get the hell out of here before I call the cops. And he leaves. I said, I'll beat you a little, you know what, if you don't get out of here.
Is there any part of you, because he is your son, that feels like such terrible remorse that, you know, that he turned out that way, you know?
Oh, yeah. I wish to God he hadn't turned out like this. I pray for him every night.
How do you think he got started in drugs? I mean, do you think maybe someone just turned him on to it, like at a party or something? Or what do you think happened there?
Probably at a party.
That's how
and
many times
the,
it does happen.
And on the night, we were supposed to go to Kings Island. The very next, that during the middle of the night, the fire department knocked on my door. And it took Chris a year to admit that he done it. He carried my great big king's size traveling down the hill and put it on fire.
Well, you know, when he's all high on drugs and everything, you know, he can do a lot of different damage to a lot of different things, you know. And it's surprising that he hasn't really totally ended up in jail, because a lot of times drug addicts, they do end up
he's
in jail because they commit crimes.
He's been in jail many times.
Oh, he has been. Okay. Yeah, I was having a hard time hearing you.
But they don't do no good.
It doesn't do any good, okay? It keeps them off the streets for a while, depending on how long their sentencing is. But on the other hand, they need to have therapy, and whether it be detention or whether it be prison, whatever, you don't really get the therapy at all that you need, okay? You might get a little bit of counseling here and there, but not enough to keep a person. The person has to make that decision themselves, okay, whether they want to be straight
therapy.
Or not.
He's in therapy, but it didn't do no good.
That's because he's not done, okay? He hasn't hit bottom. It doesn't matter whether, when I say he hasn't hit bottom, that's an AA thing to say, but it also applies to drug abuse, all right? Alcohol/drug abuse. Unfortunately, I worked there too in detox, but and this is why I know these things. But with the alcohol drug abuse type mind, either you're going to stop or you're not going to stop. And you have to stop for yourself.
He
drinks
a lot, plus he does drugs.
Well, you know, there's nothing you can do for him, and it's not your fault that he turned out the way he did either. Okay. People make choices in life, Joanne. And his choice is to be a drug addict. He doesn't want to stop, all right? So the therapy or the times that he was incarcerated.
His ex-wife don't want to stop either. Huh?
Yeah. Let me just ask you something. Were there any alcoholics or drug addicts in your family?
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of. Once in a while you'll hear that. A person will say, you know, I would ask a client, are there alcoholics or drug addicts in your family? And once in a great while they would say, no, I'm the only one. And that's why I wonder, you know, at parties, you know, sometimes it starts there. But, you know, getting introduced to the drugs, the drug scene and the drug life.
Well,
it's a very rough life.
I don't think drugs or anything. I don't believe in it.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And
so he had, well, you know, a role model in you.
Yeah.
Well, what about your husband? Was he into alcohol or drugs?
I was never married.
You were never married. Okay.
Ah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to get married again either.
I don't want to get married again either. I was married twice. That was enough.
I don't ever want to get married.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, you know, there's a lot of people that don't ever get married, and that's fine too. You know.
Mhm.
I'm just so thankful, though, that you were there for your grandchildren. And
I'm so thankful for me, and the kids is happy, go lucky.
Mhm.
And I'm happy,
well,
go lucky.
Mhm. So you're getting therapy too, so you can help deal with their problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good. That's good. And do you like your therapist?
Oh yeah, I got the same therapist that Jesse had when he went up to dance.
Mhm. That's very, very important, Joanne, because you need therapy also just to deal with the children because of all of their
mm-hmm.
nightmarish type of lives that they had.
When she's having all those nightmares, I guess I had to let her walk them off and go with her. And
mm-hmm.
she's walking them off. And I kept on trying to soothe her. And saying, you're here, you're safe, I love you. And she didn't even remember about the night terrors when she woke up.
Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's common to have nightmares and night terrors. They can become all kinds of things can happen to children when they've been abused. But you see, you got them early enough, okay? And you got them help early enough
mm-hmm.
where they're going to be okay, Joanne. It's going to take a long time, yes. But they have a much better, they're much more easy to deal with, actually, than children who never got the help, and they turn into adults, and oh my God, then you have, you know, the adult survivors of child abuse like we are, you know, on the show here.
Yeah.
So dealing with children, you know, it's a good thing. Good thing.
I've always been there for my grandkids.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you something. We are at the end of the show. We only have 2 minutes left. And if you were to give words of wisdom, okay, to the people who are listening to this show, what would it be?
It would be if you suspect abuse or anything, take action and investigate it.
Good for you. Good for you. And that's the best that you can do, too, because look what you found, for God's sake. All right? So
yeah.
I want to thank you so much. And, well, we're at the end of the show now, Joanne. But, you know, you are a NASCA member. So if you ever
mm-hmm.
want to call in and be on the panel, okay,
mm-hmm.
like we had a panel tonight, if you ever want to do that, you can. You call the same telephone number. You know what time to call in. And
okay.
You can either listen, or if you have something that you want to say, you can talk and be a part of the show. Okay.
Okay, that's great.
And you know what? I want you to keep in touch with us because I want to know how those children are doing. I think they're going to be just fine. But we'd like to hear good news too. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I
would like to hear.
The kids had a fantastic Christmas.
I
bought them a PlayStation 4,
Okay, we have to hang up now. But, you know, let us keep us informed, you know, how the kids are doing. And thank you so much for sharing your story. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Okay, thank you and good night. Everyone out there, that was quite a story. And I hope that it was helpful to someone. There's probably someone out there that's got a lot of help, actually, from hearing her. And she is one tough cookie. And I, for one, am very proud of her. Okay, I want to thank you. And we will be back on Monday night. Okay, good night and God bless.
Okay, thank you.
Good night.
Another tomorrow. 'Cause that dawn was